It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up later in the program, the same-sex marriage question is back in federal courts today for the first time since the Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act last June.
Our next guest has been nicknamed the real-life Lorax by National Geographic and the Einstein of the Treetops by the Wall Street Journal. Meg Laumann is a biologist who spends her time exploring the canopies of the world's forests.
She says there's a lot we can learn about life on the ground from being up in the trees. And it could be, she says, the key to figuring out how to protect and conserve the world's forests for many years to come. She'll be speaking to that point and more tomorrow at Beloit College.
In addition to being a biologist, Meg Laumann is a writer and educator, and she's currently the chief of science and sustainability at the California Academy of Sciences. Meg, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Great to be here.
Well, you have, I think, about the coolest job that I've come across in a while. You explore canopies of forests. Can you talk about that a bit? What is a canopy in a forest? What are you looking at?
Sure. I guess I probably am one of the very few paid arbornauts, or people that climb trees technically, which is similar to an astronaut who explores outer space. I get to explore the treetops. And believe it or not, that is the center of so much of life on Earth. We estimate that half of what lives on land actually lives in the tops of trees, and some of it actually never comes to the forest floor. So it's a pretty extraordinary place.
Now, how can canopy exploration help conserve global forests? What do we learn up there?
Because it's so new, and in fact, we only discovered so much lives in the tops of trees about 15 years after we went to the moon, we're still scrambling to understand the importance of forests, but we have already figured out that it's the interface between air and land, making it really important for climate change. It's what I call the salad bar in the sky, where most of the energy is produced, the fruits and flowers, so tons of things live there, and things go there to eat other things, and energy is produced there. So it's a real hot spot for life on Earth, and that makes it truly important for exploration and really important for the next generations, because we know that a lot of these things that live in the treetops provide medicines, help keep our fresh water supply, are controlling a lot of the productivity, how sunlight is turned into energy. And so it's just truly a really critical piece to keep healthy for life on Earth.
Now, Meg, you've explored forest canopies all over the world. Could you tell us about some of the things that you've seen there, the animals and the ecosystems, things we might never think of?
Well, first of all, there are tons of insects munching leaves in the tops of trees. It's a very noisy place to hang out. It's extraordinary to see millions of insects that have all kinds of colors, shapes, and forms. So if you want to sort of go totally like into outer space in terms of what's different, go to the top of a tree. It's pretty darn cool. I have explored a lot of canopies, mainly in that urgent quest to try to figure out the health of forests when there are not so many human impacts upon them, and obviously that's a race against time. It's full of leaves, billions and billions of green things up there. None of those leaves can run away from their enemies, so therefore treetops have to create chemicals and thorns and fuzzy hairs to protect themselves from enemies. So it's really kind of an amazing battlefield, but with a lot of different rules from what we're used to on the ground.
And what about animals? What animals live in the treetops?
Oh, my gosh. Fantastic sloths and koalas. And, of course, many, many animals use the trees. Even jaguars and other kinds of ground-based animals go up in the trees oftentimes to eat their breakfast or just kind of have a rest away from all the predation on the ground level. So it's full of activity. Birds go there to eat insects, and so do frogs, and even some snakes are canopy dwelling. So it's a pretty wild and woolly place.
Now, you've been to places in the world that nobody else has been because of your job exploring the forest canopies, and I can't imagine what the view must be like from up there, but you must get a little bit of a high. I wonder if you could describe what it feels like to be up that high.
I have a lot of respect for heights. First of all, I'm not really one of these daredevils, but I'm very motivated by the questions that we need to answer about the health of forests, and I'm also motivated because I'm a mom and I really hope to leave the world a better place for my kids. So it's pretty extraordinary. It's breathtakingly beautiful. It's full of life. I almost think maybe being around all those green leaves helps me get great oxygen or something. But it's also a real privilege to be in a place that most people haven't seen and hope that we can conserve it for future generations.
Well, one question is, how do you even get up there? What does it take to get up to the top of the forest canopy?
A lot of perspiration is really what takes. And, you know, I spent half my career inventing new gadgets, which really surprises me so much. The first was making a harness out of seatbelt webbing and learning how to climb from a caving club. And then I went on to build canopy walkways, little bridges in the sky so I could take kids into the treetops. And since then, I've been involved with hot air balloonists and also even people who use construction cranes to set them up in tall trees, and even such crazy things as rigging ladders to the tree trunks of different tall trees. So we're always looking for ways to answer the questions better, and sometimes different tools help a lot. But I really wished I could train a monkey and just stay on the ground and eat my Oreo cookies.
So you are not afraid of heights?
I'm not afraid of heights, but I do have a respect for them in the sense that, like riding a bike or operating any kind of motorized vehicle, you have to have your safety rules set in place.
What are those rules? What do you have to do to make sure it is safe?
Always have a buddy on the ground. Always make sure you double-check your fastening of your different metal hardwares to the ropes. Wear a helmet and make sure you have a bucket or a backpack to hold your things so you don't drop your pencils on your buddy in the ground.
Yeah, they would not appreciate that.
No.
Well, your research has taken you all over, and I wonder if you could tell us about your time in Ethiopia. What were you working on there?
Sure. My latest urgent project really is Ethiopia, because less than 5% of the forests remain in northern Ethiopia, and they are perhaps destined to disappear in the next 10 years based on how we've been measuring their decline with Google Earth images. This is not intentional by the locals, but it's just part of the clearing for the subsistence agriculture. And so I'm working with priests of all the diverse groups in the world. Religion and science are together on this one, and we're hoping to build stone walls around the remaining forests, all of which remain in the churchyards of the Orthodox Christian Church. And it's working. It's cheap, it's simple, and it's really part of the stewardship of their religion. So I'm thrilled to be part of the family of Ethiopian Orthodox priests in order to make this solution.
So you're working with priests in Ethiopia, and you said that the forests are a key part of the stewardship of their religion. Could you talk about that a little bit? How does religion get mixed up with forest ecology in Ethiopia?
Yeah, and you know, when you think about it, for many religions, part of the stewardship is protecting all of God's creatures, and the Ethiopian Orthodox priests take that very seriously. They absolutely insist on having forests surrounding their churches because that gives them the stewardship of all of God's creatures. They don't want to lose these forests, but they don't have access to tools like computers or Google Earth images, and they certainly don't have tape measures to look at their forest decline. So it's been a really wonderful partnership built on the same sense of stewardship, because conservation biologists are also interested in keeping track of global biodiversity. And so right now we have already saved 4 entire forests. We're working our way up to 28 critical forests, which contain essential endangered species and high biodiversity for the country of Ethiopia.
Wow, you saved 4 forests already. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Where else has your work taken you that's really stuck with you?
I worked in Western Samoa, which was fantastic. We helped a local village build a canopy walkway to charge money for ecotourism, which allowed them to pay back the debt for the construction of their school. So in many cases, I find in some of these quite remote areas, we can combine our research tools with some economic initiative that really inspires forest conservation. And that's become my latest interest, is to look beyond the data collection as a scientist, but try to think of ways that the local communities can benefit from some of my research tools.
Now, In terms of what you've discovered as you explore these forest canopies around the world, what are some of the most remarkable things you think that you have found that the world should know about?
I guess the biggest and first thing that was discovered by me and a couple others in the late 1970s is that, wow, half of the biodiversity on the land part of the planet appears to live in forest canopies. So it's a giant unknown, almost a continent, as E.O. Wilson calls it, to be discovered and explored. And then once we try to home in on those millions of species, we suddenly find a lot of them are important for medicines, for fabrics, for dyes, for obviously spiritual sanctuary, for many, many things, including, of course, fresh water, the whole forest system. So every time we explore something new in a forest canopy, we find it's connected to everything else that relates to human health. And I think that's the real take-home message for my students and for me as I look to pass the torch to the next generation of canopy explorers.
Now, the forests you explore, many of them are endangered. The Amazon, we know, the rainforest is disappearing at an alarming rate. If you could get the world leaders up in the treetops with you, the people you want to really care about the forests, would they be changed if they could go up into the trees with you? What do you think that they would see?
Totally. Seeing, smelling, and listening to it is very life-changing. And if I could do that, it would be a dream come true. Those corporate CEOs and other folks that I've taken to the Amazon, of which there are quite a few, have come back and really changed their behavior. So I do think that that would be a wonderful way to truly change our consumerism, how we do things, and reflect a greener culture. So help me. Maybe we can develop a great communication signal and invite everyone to the Amazon for a weekend.
It sounds wonderful. Meg, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and really appreciate it.
That's Meg Lauman. She's Chief of Science and Sustainability at the California Academy of Sciences. She'll be giving a talk at Beloit College tomorrow called It's a Jungle Up There, How Canopy Exploration is Conserving Global Forests.